actually like the challenge of somebody saying that they don't have a creative bone in their body, because I feel like they just haven't looked for the right way to express themselves. I feel like creativity is a means to express something deep inside of you and get it out. And you might know what you need to express and you might not know all of it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Purple Stars podcast. I'm Sarah, your host, and we have another incredible guest on the show today. She is a renowned artist, educator, and above all, she is a woman that is brave, authentic, and just so incredible. Please welcome Carolyn Mara.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here, Sarah.
Yes, we're so excited too, because we have been following you on Instagram for so many years. So having you on the show is such a treat. Carolyn, you are renowned as an artist. So many people know you. You've won so many awards. You've done all sorts of things around the world. But for those who maybe not know you yet, could you please share a little bit about your journey?
Yes, I would love to. So I started as a creative from a really early age. I like to say that because I feel like creativity kind of was brought to me early and inspired in me and promoted. And I was always allowed to be creative. And as I grew, I did a classic education. I studied psychology, and then I decided to move into art. And I got a master's degree in New York in photography and related media. And then I spent the next 10 years of my life both starting my life and having children and really developing a creative voice and helping other people develop a creative voice. I became really passionate about this idea that everybody has a creative bone in their body. And I used my photography at the time and my conceptual photography as my voice to help me through difficult things that were happening. And I was inspiring other people to do the same. Somewhere in that journey, as I decided to find new ways of creative expression, I started painting. I was not classically trained as a painter. I did a lot of art, but I decided to move into that direction, and I tried lots of different things. And one of the things I started doing was painting with a mop. And it's something that I felt really was freeing and fun and was like a full body expression. It wasn't just about the tactile small painting, but it was like a dance within itself. And I started doing large scale abstract paintings with mops, and I began selling those and building a business doing that. And through social media and the platforms that I had already started to build with creativity, I continued to do so with my mop painting. And I built a business, a fully sustainable business selling my mop art. And so today I still preach creativity and love talking about creativity. And that's one side of my passion. And the other is starting to help other artists find themselves and build businesses with their art. I started a project on TikTok and Instagram, which was artists supporting artists, where I would find small artists and share their work across my platforms, because I feel like everybody should be able to have art in their homes that is original art. There's so many artists, and you can find something that you love to hang in your house, whether it's a portrait of a pop art dog or whatever it is that you love and that you want. And there's an artist out there to do it. And there's no need to go buy like ready-made posters and put them in your house, because you can have original art. And yeah.
I didn't know that you had this campaign or like connection on TikTok. How did that come? Like, I absolutely love that, because I think everyone who has a certain reach should use that reach to do good. And it's so great that you help other artists, because, and I'll touch upon all these topics throughout the episode, but a lot of artists are great at art, but they struggle with the promotion, the social media, they struggle with the business side, with selling the art, putting themselves out there. So it's such a beautiful gift that you're offering them to share their art. And this being said, another great gift that you're now offering, you recently launched your podcast, which is called Creating Creative Success.
Yes.
And I love that you marry the two topics and areas of business and art. Because as I said, a lot of artists struggle, not because their art is not good, but because all the other areas of business are missing. So what amazing content can listeners expect from your podcast?
I want people to understand that as an artist, you are also a business. You are the business, and you have to look at yourself as a business. You have to be the CEO. You have to be the financial officer. You have to be marketing expert. You have to be everything. And if you look at it like a business, then, and you say, I'm going to dedicate this much time to the art and this much time to the business, you could actually grow your business and finding ways to find other means to help sustain you. I don't want anyone to be like that starving, dying artist where you're like going down with the ship. And so you have so many opportunities, especially in this day and age, to stretch yourself and to pull things in. If you organize yourself and you make a plan and you do small things like actually creating an LLC and getting money back from your taxes that you can reinvest in your business. These are all things that feel really overwhelming for people. And you're like, oh, I'm just doing a side thing and I'm trying to sell my art. But if you really want to do it and you put your time and energy into learning how to do it, you're going to have so much more success from it. And so I like to share little tidbits of the ways that I have gotten to where I've gotten. I went to art school where I got a master's in art, but a lot of the things of just having a business as an artist, I wasn't taught in art school. I was taught a much more, what's the right word? Conceptual way of thinking and creating my body of work. But then all of a sudden I didn't have a place to go with all the resources I needed. And I was kind of flying by the seat of my pants. And quite honestly, when things started to pick up for me, I wasn't prepared for it. And I lost out on a lot of opportunity to make money because I was so overwhelmed. I didn't know what to do. I didn't have a system in place. And by the time I got my system in place, I was last year's news, so then you're trying to rebuild yourself again. So the more you can get done ahead of time and prepare, the better that you're going to be as you start to grow.
What are tips for artists that are trying to get to know the land of business? Because you mentioned it's great to set a certain time aside. And I see this with a lot of artists that I've been coaching is they struggle with right and left brain tasks to combine them. And, they have these flows and if it was up to them, they would only do art. And often it's also the mindset of, oh, all the administration and business tasks are a problem in my way. And I always tell them, we got to change the mindset because it's not a problem. 100%. It is what actually is propelling you forward. And you can create the most amazing art. If we don't have that setup around it, your art is just going to be in the basement or stays in the drawer.
I always think also as an artist, you create routines for yourself. You create routines for how you make your art. Are you going to go, you might buy all of your supplies one day and then make your piece a different day. You might do it all together so you find ways as an artist to create these routines, rituals, ways that they work. And you have to think like that in the business aspect. What can I do to create the same type of rituals that work for me? Is it better for me to do all of this in one day for the whole month? Or does that feel really overwhelming? And I'd rather just keep it up. Each person is going to be a little bit different, but finding what works for you. And the other thing that I think is important is you're not going to do everything all at once. I mean, in the same sense, people are like, I want to be on social media. I'm going to join all four of these and start. You can't do all of it and it's going to suffer. So don't stress yourself out and say, I'm going to start with this task. I'm going to do this. Once I get this going and I figure it out, I'm going to add on the next one. And it's not as overwhelming. You just have to take it one little step at a time. And as you go, things will become natural and you'll keep doing them and you'll see the benefit. It's so much easier to keep doing something when you're like, wow, okay, this is working and this is helping me out. I don't want to stop.
It's, I totally agree with what you're saying. I see this with a lot of people, not just artists. They want to change something in their life and then they feel like I have to do everything at once. And then it seems like this Mount Everest that they have to climb, and they might push for it 2-3 days and then they give up because they only see the top of the mountain. And it's much easier if we break it down in little like milestones, as you said, maybe my first milestone is setting up an LLC and finding the right tax consultant for me. The next one could be like 3 weeks later, I'm setting up my Instagram account and I'm trying to find out how to do stories and how to do reels. And then maybe 2 weeks later, you find something new. And when it comes to routines and habits, I'm a big believer, everyone is different and it's very important to try different routines and also see, okay, is my creative bone more in the morning or in the afternoon? Mm-hmm. Is it, and also it changes with the seasons. In winter, things might be different than it is in summer because of your body clock. And I just recently had a conversation with one of my clients, and for him, it turned out that what worked the best, because he's a composer and also a pianist, but his heart is the composer, to do that very first thing in the morning. Not to look at his phone, to get up and to do his composing. And it gives him a different sense of peace throughout the day because he already had done what makes his heart so happy. So if he does business things in the afternoon, he's not that bothered about it anymore because he doesn't feel it's in his way. So I'm so excited for your podcast. I'm going to share it with everyone because I just think the world really needs someone to build those bridges. I'm also wondering, because you are so creative and you have so many outlets where you are sharing and expressing your art. I haven't seen much of the spoken word or not as much as everything else. How does it feel doing a podcast where spoken word becomes now another layer of expressing your art?
That's a really interesting question. I love that because it was a stretch for me. It's a little bit different for me. I mean, I definitely believe that over time and as I've gotten older and I've become more comfortable in everything, like as time has gone on and as my story has evolved and changed and I have found ways to begin to talk about what happened in the past 20 years that got me and all the art that I did that got me to where I am today. It all strengthened me and helped me for the better. And I'm excited to talk about that as well. And it all linked together. I mean, creating my art and creating my business helped propel me forward at a time when I needed to be pushed to do something for myself. And the art was always my voice. And now I don't know if I'm.
No, it's no. I totally no. You totally are, and I see this with a lot of successful people, regardless of the industry and the field. Every chapter in their life prepares them for the next, and especially if we're open to marrying different fields, like being an artist. For some people, it's like, oh, I'm an artist. I don't need business. Then you like get in the business. If you are more corporate, then it's important to also get in your creativity. So I think as long as we bring in Chinese medicine, we call it yin and yang. If we want to get the maximum of our success, it's really important to have the seemingly opposites and marry them. Because I think that's when we reach our full potential. And that's also when we feel whole. And I find it very interesting. You're saying everyone has a creative bone inside them. I have two questions.
Yes.
What is your definition of creativity? And also, why do you believe everyone has it within them?
I strongly believe. I actually like the challenge of somebody saying that they don't have a creative bone in their body because I feel like they just haven't looked for the right way to express themselves. I feel like creativity is a means to express something deep inside of you and get it out. And you might know what you need to express and you might not know all of it. And as you find ways, whether it's just dancing and letting the way your body move, or I had once, in a class that I taught years ago, and I kept promoting, like, if you don't have a creative bone and she joined and she was a scientist and she did a lot of computer science type things. And she joked, she worked in a lab coat every day and she'd been following me on Instagram and loved my creative posts. And she was like, I'm going to sign up for this. Let's see if I actually have a creative bone. Like, I don't, but I'm here and I'm showing up because I think you're cool. And I was like, ooh, this is awesome. And I'm going to tell you some of the stuff that she created by the end of that class is some of my favorite things that was ever done, because she really used what she did, which was computer generating. Like if something were to pop up on your computer saying like a warning on an Apple computer and you got like the little message, she was able to go in and change that message so that it would pop up and it would say something like, take a breath. Or so it looked like a computer generated message, but it had this beautiful, and then she printed all of them out and it became this body of artwork that wasn't in her mind even art, because how could it be art? It's a computer screen, but it was. And it was her telling herself all these things that she needed to do in the language that she spoke. And then it was art. And I loved that because I just feel like sometimes it's a perspective change, and it mm-hmm. was her voice and it was something different. And it was something that spoke to other people, because art also evokes emotion in others. And that's that kind of final piece. You can create all of this for yourself and put it in the world, and then somebody else can see it as you do or not as you do, like completely differently. But that's a dance within itself. And that's an artistic language. And so what it evoked in me shocked her. And there it was. Now she was making art and she was like, okay, I guess I'm creative. And I didn't even know it. And it's fun. It's fun to do that and to help people. And it was light for her. You know, it gave her a voice, but it also gave her life.
Mm-hmm.
So
I was just about to ask, it gave her a voice and it made her feel lighter and it gave her life, because I see it from a coaching perspective. Creating art, and also there's, you know, intuitive painting. There are so many things out there, and it is about the creativity, but I think way more universal. It's about getting to know yourself more and also unlocking some sides of you that have been untouched. And it's teaching courage, and it's teaching stepping outside the comfort zone and also breaking free from certain limitations. And a lot of people, when they have jobs, they think that's all they are. Oh, I'm the scientist. I'm not creative. Or sometimes they also think, oh, I'm an athlete. I'm not creative. Or I'm a creative. I'm not a business person. And it's all about breaking free from limitations. And I think that is what you are really representing as a human being, is breaking free from limitations.
I love that. I hope so. I love that. Yes.
And because you just touched upon the word hope, I will never forget the first time I discovered you on Instagram. You popped up on my discovery feed and there was this picture. So you were covered with eggs and they all slid off your belly, remaining one. And I will never forget, I was sitting here on my own and I thought, wow, this picture is such a powerful metaphor for hope. Of course, when it comes to miscarriage and fertility, but for so many other life aspects and more universal themes as well. Now that I have you on my podcast, I'm wondering, for you personally, this picture, how did it shape your understanding of hope, and what does it symbolize for you personally?
So that image was I was in a moment of my life where imagery was experiences. And I started to realize that every time I was having a moment about something, I was emotional about something, my best way to get through that moment was to conceptualize in my mind something that would represent it, go out, spend the time to do the self-portrait, and then walk away from it. And whatever happened in my emotions could go into that image, live in that image, and I could let it go. And I had multiple times, it was raining and I went in the pool and I took this picture of me in the pool. And each one of those experiences and captured whatever I was feeling in that day. And I was like, okay, there it is. That's where the emotion is. So that specific image, I had spent years trying to get pregnant with my last child, and I really wanted another one. And we had a whole family. There's so many reasons, and I couldn't let it go. And I kept trying and I kept trying and I kept trying. And when I took that picture, she was here already. But I was having an emotion that day because I had one of my best friends that couldn't get pregnant. And I felt like that affected me because I lived it so deeply for so long. And I was like, you know, I never did a representation of that and I need to do it. And when I went, I had done IVF multiple times that never worked. In the end, it was Chinese medicine that got me pregnant with her, but I had gotten eggs out of eggs and none of them would work and nothing would happen. When I went to take that picture, I was like, I'm just going to use a bunch of eggs. And I put the iPhone, as I always did, like I glued it to the ceiling, and then I would have my Apple Watch, which I would take the picture and I would push the picture and I'd set it all up, and I lay down and I broke all the eggs on me. And I didn't mean for just one egg to stay there. I just kind of thought they would be all over the place, and they literally all slid off of me except for one. And I took the pictures, and after I took it, I actually cried because I just wanted her to believe that like it was going to happen for her. And it was like, wow, it just takes one egg to have that child that you want, and you can be trying and trying and nothing else matters. And it stayed there. And it was that moment for me when I did that, it was a beautiful experience, as most of those self-portrait moments were. And often I would let the emotion live in it. And that picture, it's interesting when you reached out and you said that, because that picture means so much to me just because it all kind of fell together. And I believe so strongly in everything happening for your higher self. And it's not an easy thing to be thinking when you're living in a desperate moment in your life, like there's a reason for this, there's a reason for this. And I can go back to that period and those 4 years and tell you that I would do every one of those I had four losses in that time, and I would do them all over again for her. Like it was all meant for her. I believe that wholeheartedly. And getting through that period of my life, while difficult, taught me so much. And I don't know, that one egg, and she was my one egg that made it in the end. And it's just, I don't know. I love that image for my own personal. Yeah.
Oh, me too. I have goosebumps all over my body. It's so what you have said, and also what you've shared through not just what you just said, but in that picture, is so beautiful on so many layers. It's beautiful how you give people the courage to sit with their emotion. And your way of sitting with your emotion is expressing it with art. Others might do it while journaling or going on the walk or talking to someone or dancing. But I'm like, wow, she really has the courage to sit with what is and to actually capture it. Because I think when we capture it in whatever way we do it, it becomes reality. So I find that...
I want to say, just for people who like... I took hundreds of pictures, and there was, you know, a small series that ended up being the ones that I shared and loved the most. Like each experience, whether it ended up with like an amazing final product or not, I learned to let that go because it was about the experience, and that was okay. And quite honestly, I can look back at some of the things now and find beauty in some of the images that I never shared because I didn't feel like they were good enough to share, but it didn't matter because it was what I needed to do in that moment. And I was creating like crazy back then. I mean, constant. I needed it. I needed it to kind of just get through day by day. And I feel like in anything, but in art, you want the result. You want the result to be good. You want, but when you're led trying for the result, you're going about it wrong, and it's never going to come out of you the way it needs to. Like if I was trying to get that picture, I would have never gotten it, and it would have been a disaster. But I was just trying to experience something for myself, and it came. And I had lots of times it didn't come, but that one it did. And I think it's important because you have to just keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it and let the things naturally happen, and the highest good will come.
I call it loosening the grip so the masterpiece can happen.
I love that.
Whether you share it or not, but it's a masterpiece for yourself. And because you just talk about higher self, I see art as a way of practicing spirituality. Because when someone composes something amazing, or you paint your painting, or someone writes a poem, it is coming from somewhere higher. That's just how I'm a big believer that's how it is. And I remember when I was writing my book about grief, I experienced very often sitting in front of a blank canvas. In my case, it was a piece of paper. And whenever I tried to force it, as in like, oh, that's how it's supposed to be like written, and that's how this and that, and that's where the turn is, it never worked out. Like, I probably did write something, but I was like, man, it doesn't like, it feels I wrote it with my head and not with my heart. Mm-hmm. And what really helped me, and I also tell this to a lot of my clients who are artists, is to have certain rituals before sitting down and writing or composing or painting, to really get in touch with your heart and to give your ego a break. So whether it's tapping and you tap into your fears of, oh, what would other people think? Or I want it to be perfect. It needs to be this way. Or the fear of losing control or not being in charge. And it's so helpful to have that ritual that you can actually not, that you don't need to fight the ego, but you can actually then focus on the emotion. And what I find so interesting that you said you tried for 4 years to get pregnant, and that Chinese medicine was in the end what really helped you. So I'm also practiced and trained in Chinese medicine, and I totally believe what you said, because it's, and I'm not against IVF because it helps a lot of people, but I also think it's great to discover and explore an alternative path. And what is so great about Chinese medicine, it's very gentle on the body. It's very gentle. And if you have a great practitioner, he or she combines acupuncture and cupping and moxa, also with herbal remedies, and it just helps you emotionally, mentally, physically, and also spiritually. And whenever we call in something, or in that case, a baby, we need it all. We need body, mind, and soul. And that's why I am a big, big, big fan of Chinese medicine. Do you think creating art in combination with Chinese medicine was maybe the winning formula for you?
I mean, I was creating always, and I created through all of it, through trying everything. I think that by the time that I walked in, I actually had kind of decided, okay, I'm not supposed to, this is not the way that I'm going to have this child. And that's okay. I was determined, and I kind of had decided to try a different path. And somebody recommended I went to this Chinese man. And when I went to see him the first time, or the first month, I actually got pregnant, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, my God, that worked so fast. And then that was my fourth miscarriage. And he said, your body's not ready. Body's not ready. Mm-hmm. We need to take time. Your body's too cold. You need to be warmer. You need to do more breathing. And so every month I would go and I would say, is it time? He would go, nope, your body's not ready. Your body's not ready. Of course I was trying anyway. I was like, okay, I'm not ready. But in the month he told me, like, I went in and I kind of didn't expect him to say this month, because I always asked, and it was about 6 months later, and he said, your body's ready. And I got pregnant that month with my daughter. And I don't know, like, I'm such a believer. I did everything, to so many herbs, and I went, bought black skin chicken and made soup, and I did everything he told me to do. But I would go twice a week for the acupuncture and cupping and everything else. And I do think that over time, it wasn't just getting my body ready, it was getting my mind ready, and kind of it helped settle me in a way. And I know it doesn't work for everybody, and you know, I don't want to pretend, but for me, he got my body and my mind ready to have that baby. And yeah, I feel that way strongly. And I guess art could play into it too. I guess I could look back right before I got pregnant, was the first time I actually shared that I was having any struggles. I hadn't shared it. And, just because I feared the fact that I had two children, that people would say, well, you already have children, so what do you want? Mm-hmm. Which I got. Like, I mean, I certainly got that. And everybody has their own story. I felt very strongly, regardless of what I had, a boy or girl, to have a third child. But I finally kind of opened up about it a little bit, and then it happened. But so I created a little bit of art around it, but I don't know.
I love that. And it's so interesting what fears we sometimes have and why we want to share something or not share something. And I see this with a lot of people who are trying to get pregnant, that people are like, you already have a kid or two. Why are you putting your body through all of that? And this brings me to my next question, which is the topic of strength. I'm a big believer, some seasons require us to be strong, and that means in that season to push through. But there are seasons where strength actually means letting go. Mm-hmm. And what I have seen in myself and others and in my clients, the hardest part is not the letting go or the pushing through, but the not knowing. And you shared something so powerful on Instagram. You said, I thought if I was strong and brave and tough, if I never gave up, things would fall into place. I couldn't see that my measures of strength and perseverance were celebrating the wrong things. Can we talk about this? Because it really, we've seen so beautifully with what you shared earlier, that you tried for 4 years to get pregnant. But I also know last year there was a lot of things where strength was letting go. What would you like to share, and what are you willing to maybe personally share about this?
No, I'm fine sharing about this. I spent years and years and years believing that I needed to do everything I could to keep my marriage together, that it was my job to keep, for my children to keep it together. I was dealing with a man who was a wonderful man, and I loved him very much and still do, but he had a lot of depression and a lot of things that he wasn't able to get through. And I felt like if I didn't stand by him, that wouldn't be okay. Essentially, like, I had to be strong. I had to keep it together. I had to do it. And that was my goal, essentially. And my measure was, no matter what, be a good wife, be a good mother. I was doing all these other things for myself and building my own business, but I did not want to give up on my marriage. I didn't want to give up on it. I really thought if I gave up on it, I would be either weak, or I would be that was my success measure, that I was doing this. Somebody said to me, have you ever considered that you're so obsessed with not giving up on your marriage that maybe you're giving up on yourself? Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like, whoa, no, I've never considered that before. I've never considered that I'm not thinking about myself at all. I that wasn't in my measure. And I had to get to a place where I felt like it was okay to let go, and that I had really done everything I could possibly do. And if you had said to me 2 years ago you would be getting divorced and you would feel okay about it, I wouldn't have believed you, because I really believed if I get to a point where I have to get divorced, I have to do it, and I'm going to be miserable. And I realized that I was never going to be able to make everything okay for him. And it's something that in many ways, no matter what I did, whether I began to try to work on my own art and build my own business and separate, or kept trying to support, trying every avenue that I could, that letting go and letting him trying to be on his own was the best thing for him and the best thing for me and the best thing for my children. I mean, truly, they were like, okay, good for you, mama. And and it was shocking and difficult, but also freeing and enlightening. And I had to let go of the judgment that I was having for myself, because I always thought like, well, if they get divorced, then they just didn't try hard enough. Like that was the story that I told myself, like no matter what, that I just thought, well, divorces, there's too many people getting divorced in this day and age in our country. And that just means that they didn't try enough. And so because that's the story I told myself, then I couldn't stop trying, or I would be one of those people that didn't try enough. And it was really difficult for me to get there. But once I got there and I saw that everybody was okay and that we were still going to be able to have our family and do it differently and do it in a way that I hadn't envisioned in my mind at first, but I can see the beauty in it now. And I can see how I can kind of step into this next part of my life. And I don't know what it brings. And I have no expectations, and I'm not looking for anything. I want to focus on myself. I feel happier than I felt in a really long time, because I feel like strong. I feel like I did something for myself that I didn't know I needed to do. And when I said there that I was measuring it wrong, like I really was, but that's what I needed in that moment. I needed to get through all of that so I could really look back and say, it's okay. I'm okay. We're okay. And this is okay. And not one of us in the story is bad, or we haven't tried enough. And our story just wasn't meant to end together. And that's okay.
Thank you so much for sharing this.
You're welcome.
I am very much in awe, and I admire the strength you found within yourself throughout this process, for yourself, for your kids, but also for your ex-husband, because very often it's the best we can do for someone else is to step back. And when we love someone, we often think the best thing we can do is to fix things for them, to love them, to find ways for them, to like, you know, bend backwards for them. But in the end, it doesn't help them, nor does it help us. But it takes time, and it also takes courage to look within and to not just realize it, but also to accept that sometimes the best is to everyone has more space for themselves in whatever way that looks like. For some people, it might be divorce. For others, it might be a timeout. But it's so powerful. And I find it a great example that you're giving to your kids, because I do think we lead by example. And what you are teaching them is really, you know, when you tried everything, sometimes there comes a point where ending things is not a weakness, but a strength. And you also, when you, as much as you love others, you still got to ask yourself, how am I doing in all of that? And I really, really, really admire that.
Thank you. It took time and work and a lot to get there, but I got there, and I got there for my higher self in the time that I was supposed to, and when I needed to get there. And I'm ready now to move into the next phase. I'm excited. I'm so excited.
That's so, and I saw you are moving into a new house.
I am. That was
so excited.
Thought about for a while, and I didn't know what I wanted to do last year, and kind of decided, you know, this is a new phase. I think that this is a good idea to kind of start a new project, and I didn't know how the kids would feel about it, but everybody's excited, and it's a cool older house that I'm renovating, and I love that. So
I wish you all the best for the new home, because I think new homes is something so exciting. It's such a great process for the inner and the outer world. And also that you get to experience this with your kids, and that you get to renovate and build your own home, because home is such a, is something so important. And for some people, it might not always be a building or a house, but I do think when we allow ourselves to settle down and to grow roots in one physical place, it also helps to find a home within ourselves.
Yes, I love that. And I agree wholeheartedly.
So I think that's really, really, really great. And you just brought up your kids. I saw on Instagram you engaged them in art in such cool ways. I think every kid wants a mom like you, because you do paint pours. And for everyone who hasn't seen that, please go on Instagram to Carolyn's page and have a look at it. So what are tips that you have for parents to engage kids and immerse them with art? Because I think paint pours is a really cool and fun thing, but it might not be something that people can do on a daily basis. And I think it's more important than ever, especially with technology being so dominant, to give kids the opportunity to get to know their creative side more.
Oh, 100%. I think that a lot of the paint pour stuff, what made it so fun, and it was something that started with my middle child and something that I let him do until he kind of outgrew it and my daughter started. But with him, I wanted to give him the control. And the joke was kind of always like, okay, mama wants to do an art project, but she's going to come up with all the ideas and everything. And so here I was like, okay, let's do something crazy. And the first time we did it, it was really just about letting him like douse me in paint, because he thought it was hilarious and awesome. And it turned out fun. And we started doing it more and more. And then he started directing it, and he would come up with different ideas. It was a fun project, because it was a collaboration between him and I. And I think that part of art, again, is always about the experience for me, not about the final product. And a lot of this we kind of called like live art. We popped balloons with paint. We tried lots of different things. And it was about the experience and the time bonding with him and doing something that was a little bit out of the ordinary, and doing something tactile that you can touch, that you can feel. Like if you're going to do art with your younger kids, like get messy, even if you're just putting one piece of paper down and putting paint on your hands. But there's something about having an experience where you're not just quietly sitting, but you're interacting with the clay or whatever. Mm-hmm. I used to remember doing, when I was younger, like, you know, recycle art or whatever, where you get like old things out of the recycling can and cans and bottles, and then making a little sculpture out of it. That kind of stuff is fun, and it's an experience. And art is about creating something, but experiencing it. And if you can do it with your kids, it's just a great unplugged activity. And
I also remember that we would always get the toilet paper rolls. But like for school especially. So my mom was always like, man, we can't use the bathroom that many times. Because they always said like, bring next week like 10 paper rolls. So we would always ask the neighbors, can you please to save them for us again, so we can like build our little sculptures and little telephones.
Exactly.
And what I also was thinking when I saw the paint pours, it's so great because it also takes them out of this regiment system of having everything in place and not like, you know, like stay in your lane and things always need to be neat and perfect and planned. I just think it teaches kids on so many levels, so many things. And above all, as you really beautifully shared, it's creating a very beautiful bond between you and the kids. Do your kids also use the mop, or mainly?
I've let my daughter try. They've tried maybe, and I meet each of my children where they're at and how much they want to participate. My oldest has never been a big participator. He's 16 now, but even when he was 10, he would take a Mother's Day picture with me every year because that was always important for me. And I got my Christmas card pictures, but I've never pushed him to do anything that he doesn't want to do because he doesn't want to do it. My middle child loves all of it and spent a lot of time. So I just met everyone where they were at and did different things with different children. And my boys are both very musical. They take music lessons and guitar and piano and all of that. And so I like to kind of just integrate. I like to integrate creative expression in different ways and try to find things that they like. And it could be anything. My daughter dances. So we'll see.
Have you found through your kids a new connection within yourself with art?
Absolutely. I actually love learning through them and in all things. You know, when you said that, the first thing that came to mind was I've read Harry Potter out loud to all of my children. I'm a big Harry Potter fan. And like the wonder each time that they learn what Quidditch is or all of that. Like there's wonder in learning and seeing them experience something for the first time. And that's always been one of my favorite. But with art as well, when they learn how to do something, or I've enjoyed with Giacomo, who's my middle son. We used to do those like YouTube videos where they would teach you how to draw something and both of us would do it each on the side and try to make it and then see what we would come up with. But it's always fun activities with them. And that's what I want to keep it light. And I was encouraged always as a child to express myself and express my creativity and do things. And, you know, art was hung on the wall and I try to do that for them. And I also think it's nice for them to watch me. I think you asked if they paint with a mop. And while my daughter did, but I don't know if Giacomo ever even tried. But I like having them around when I do it. It's never like a close the door, I'm doing a commission, everybody out. It's, you can stand here and join me or turn on some music and hang out. And I want them to feel like it's part of our lives and watching me be creative and how much I enjoy it and how good it is for me, I hope will transcend into them so that they feel comfortable doing it as well.
You're so inspiring. It's so amazing because I'm like, wow, she's such a great artist. She's so amazing then at business. She's doing it with her kids. She probably is a great friend to have. For people who want to work with you, and what are other than the podcast? I know you wrote a book.
I have a class coming out in May and to learn from, and I'll have a community with that. And then I have a book that I hope will be ready by this summer. And that's more about finding your creativity. That's something that I've been working on for a long time and I'm really excited about. And it's with the editors right now. And so, and I have a journal. I really love like brain dumping, and that'll kind of come in at the same time that will go on Amazon. And it's all different ways, brainstorming ways, and all the pages are a little bit different to help with creative brainstorming. And
I love that.
I've just done lots of different projects over the last 2 years, and I feel like I had to take a pause, which was difficult for me, but I had to focus on something else for a little while, and everything was really close, like when you're pregnant and you haven't actually had the baby yet and you're uncomfortable and they're all right there. And so it's fun to finally be able to see all the fruits of, and to help people, because I really, at the end of the day, like I love to do that. That's what I've done from the very beginning, is turn around and help others, whether it's an artist helping them grow their business or somebody that just needs a means of expression, finding a way to be able to express themselves. So.
And Carolyn, the class that's going to start in May, who is it for and how can people sign up for it?
So you can sign up on my website. You can go and put your email address and you'll actually get like a little a freebie right now, which is fun because it's just like a taste of the class. And it's going to be a class for artists who want to grow their business, essentially, or mm-hmm. whether it's a side hustle or you're just painting or any kind of art at all, or you're trying to sell anything artistic. And it will go through 6 modules that will help you from soup to nuts, everything you need to do. And it's timed out. So you do it piece by piece, and from growing an email list to your socials to figuring out your website and where to sell and how to do it. And it's all things that I gathered over a long period of time that people kept asking me, and I decided I'm going to put it all in one place. So.
Oh, I love that. So we'll make sure we put all of this in the show notes so people can just go on the link very easily and sign up for that. I also want to ask, when we talk about art and you have a dog, what's your dog's name?
My dog's name is Winston.
Winston.
I had a Winston, yes.
What kind of dog? Like, what breed is your dog?
He's a 90-pound golden doodle.
90 pounds?
Yeah. Can we call him?
Yes.
Hold on. He'll come running. Hold on. He actually just got a haircut, so he doesn't look as big as he normally does. Come here. Come here.
He's like, oh, first you shut me out and now I shouldn't need to be on camera. Oh, man, he is so cute. Oh, my God. So cute.
He just got shaved, so he looks skinny, but he's huge.
So sweet. Do you feel Winston has appreciation for art? Have you ever asked yourself that question?
I think that Winston has appreciation for music, which I feel is a form of art. Mm-hmm. So I would say yes to that, because I feel like he gets excited when we turn music on to dance in the kitchen and he's like jumping around with us. So, right? Do you like Billy Joel?
But there are actually studies that dogs really respond well to music, and that they also have a taste.
A taste in music?
Yeah. Some like reggae and some like classical music. I mean, I just got a puppy. He really likes Beyonce. I noticed that whenever I play Beyonce, maybe it's also the way I dance to it, but like his tail is like, you know, like wagging much more than with everything else. And I love it. I'm like, you're a Beyonce girl. So funny. And do you, I interviewed someone really cool as well. She was very early on when we started the podcast. She, her dog paints. So she's also an artist.
Stop.
Yes.
Cool.
I need to send you, her name is Kate. I'm going to send you that, Instagram, because the dog really paints. So not with the paws, but with a brush.
What? In his mouth?
In his mouth, yeah. Yes.
Wow.
Her name is Tucci. Yeah, so very cool. I'm going to send it to you because it's really, really, really cool. And do you feel that your dog helps you with getting calm before painting?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe not before painting, but just in general, like mm-hmm. he's a snuggler. He's now like sleeping, but he loves to snuggle. He'll just like lay on the bed with you and you can hold him, and it's lovely. Honestly, the dog is, you know, having a dog, they're just happy to see you when you walk
in. Yes.
And they're all excited and they love you. And I love, this is our second big golden doodle, and they're just like partially human.
I think so too. And when you, besides the fact that he calms you, I think dogs teach us so much, especially if we are mindful of that. What do you think is one of the biggest lessons Winston has taught you?
This is funny, but I think he teaches all of us that not to hold on to anything too long. He could be upset about something for 1 second and then completely thrilled the next. We joke like, oh, if we could all just let things go like Winston, like somebody's going by and barking like crazy and then they're out of sight and he's all happy again. And you're like, oh, what a way to live. So, you know,
Coming back to the present, it's so true. I noticed from our family dog, Henry, who lives with my parents, he has like sometimes silent treatment, but it usually doesn't go longer than half a minute or a minute. And then he's like, I love you again.
Exactly.
It's so funny. And so we always wrap up our interview with some dog related questions.
Okay.
Number one, if Winston had a human job, what profession do you think he would really strive in?
I'm going to say a crossing guard. He gets to smile and wave at everybody and tell him to have a good day. And I feel like he's such a, he needs a very easy job. He does it in the morning, gets everybody across the street to school, and then sleeps for the rest of the day. He's got limited energy. Like, he was all happy and now he's passed out. So I think a crossing guard is perfect.
I love that. Such a creative answer. I've received like all sorts of answers, but I really, really, really love that. If he could speak for one day, what do you think he would say to you? Ooh.
Let's see. So Winston doesn't do much. He doesn't actually like to go other places. When we moved out of our house that he'd been in his whole life, he was so anxious at first because he didn't know where he was. And quite honestly, he doesn't go anywhere. He stays home. And I think that his whole world and his whole bubble is us in this place. And we leave. And the second we come back, he's all happy. And he gets confused mostly. Like, I would say through all of like my emotional ups and downs over the last 6 years that I've had with him, that he's just happy all the time and he makes me happy. And so I feel like he would ask me like why I get upset, why I go and I come back and there's all of this like up and down. And he's a reminder that it doesn't need to be so emotional and everything's going to be okay. And I don't know what he would ask me.
Do you feel moving, because you said, is he still anxious or has he already settled a little?
He's settled now. And now
he's settled.
We're kind of in between homes. We're in a townhouse right now while I'm reading a new one. So when we go see the new house, he gets all anxious again. So we'll have to get through that hurdle too. But he really hadn't ever slept anywhere else except our house. And so,
wow. Yeah, it must be a big change. You got to think, when we humanize that situation, imagine you had never stayed anywhere else for whatever amount of years. Yeah. And then suddenly you got to stay somewhere else. I mean, like, how often when we stay at a hotel, we already feel a little uncomfortable. It's not the same pillow, not the same blanket, not the same towels. So it totally makes sense. If you give me later your address, I'm happy to send you one of our products. We're going to launch them soon in the US. So it's, we've been selling them already for quite a while in Austria and Germany. So they're herbal remedies. And what I would send you, it's called Calm. And it's so amazing because it helps dogs with their anxiety, but also with stress.
Oh my gosh, we need this.
I'm going to send it to you. Yes, because you know what's so great about it? First of all, it's 100% natural. And the difference to CBD oil, it helps them to calm down without getting tired and drowsy. And the great thing is, so a lot of dogs get it off, obviously also when they're rescue dogs, and they're generally, maybe also from the breed, very anxious, or also when it comes to certain life-changing situations, moving, someone dying, divorce, a new baby coming to the family, and it's a great support. So later I'll ask you for your address,
awesome.
And
you.
I was going to send it to you.
Thank you.
And one more question about Winston. What is one of the many reasons you're grateful for him?
Oh, I'm so grateful for him just because he puts things into perspective, and he's just always happy, honestly, unless he sees like a squirrel running by and he gets all agitated for a second. He's just happy and easy and willing to give love, and he's awesome. Everybody needs a big, happy goof dog. He's like a goofball. He's an easy animal, and everybody in our house loves to have him around. So
yeah, he looks like a big goofball that you want to snuggle all day long. Carolyn, could I ask you, what are your thoughts on our podcast after having chatted
this
with me for
awesome.
1 hour?
I feel like we could be friends. I love it.
Yes,
I
really, me too.
I do. I really appreciate you asking me, and this was lovely. I mean, I loved the direction and everything that you're about, and it really feels aligned to how I feel. And so this was awesome. Thank you so much for having me and for asking. And yes,
thank you. And thank you. I thank you for not just your time, but also for your honesty and for sharing so much wisdom and experience and for being human. I think that's something that's probably what I admired the most today is, you know, you're successful and you're a great mom and like, you know how to build a business and to grow. But beneath all of this, you're human. And I love that you are not afraid to show it, and also that you actually celebrate to be human. And it will give a lot of inspiration, but also the permission to others to do the same.
Thank you so much, Sarah. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's a wrap for today, everyone. Please make sure you share this episode with everyone you love, with your family, with your friends, anyone you want to inspire. And don't forget to tag us, both Carolyn and us. And we'll see you next Wednesday.